Annyeonghaseyo. Hi everyone, my name is Elkin. I'm 20 years old and I'm a student at the University of Western Australia, which I've been told has the biggest and best Korean language program in the country. Just so happens. Who knew? Why us? So on the 6th of August, I got an email from Claire Bank asking if I would volunteer to go to a conference in South Korea because the original delegate was suddenly unable to attend. I said, sure, sounds great. 2 days later, I booked my flights, and 9 days after that, on August the 17th, I left for Seoul. 2,000 years old, the fourth highest metropolitan GDP of any city in the world, 8,000 kilometres away, and 13 times the population of Perth. The conference was a World Student Christian Federation Asia-Pacific region event. The WSCF began in 1895 and is a part of the global ecumenical movement. Its members have gone on to become politicians, general secretaries of the World Council of Churches, and Nobel Peace Prize winners. Amongst their aims is to call members of the academic community to discipleship within the mission of the church and to help them strive for peace and justice in and among nations. So I went as the delegate for the Australian Student Christian Movement amongst a total of 10 nations represented. We were invited by the Korean Student Christian Federation after the leaders of North and South Korea met in April, the first such meeting after 10 years of conservative presidency in the South. The focus of our learning was on the history of war in Korea, the past and current peace work, the ongoing social violence of the divide, and the history and the role of the church in Korea. What I'm going to tell you is a message given to me by Korean people, professors, students, pastors, men, women, young and old. It is about war, it is about money and power, it is about the church, and it's about people. It's their own story, and it is our story. So, before I start, I think it's important to have a look at where the Korean Peninsula is. You can see it's got Russia and China on one side, and then Japan on the other, and the naval force of the USA. And so you can already kind of go, oh dear. You can see what history has in store for this tiny, well, relatively tiny peninsula right in the middle of all of these global powers. Oh, and you can see where Seoul is, where I was. It's quite... it's quite close to the border, so that's why later on I will be talking about going pretty much as close to the border as you can get. It's because Seoul is really right there, right up against the north, about probably an hour's drive up to the border. So, the people who spoke to us were Reverend Dr. Cho Hun-jung on the history of the Korean church and its connections with politics, Lee Hye-young and Reverend Dr. Lee Moon-suk on the vital role of women on the path to peace, Professor Francis Lee and Dr. Chung Ju-jin, who are both peace researchers and conflict resolution educators, and Reverend Shin Sung-min on the direct role of Korean Christians in campaigning for peace and reunification. The first person who came to speak to us was Professor Kim Myung-bok, who is a leading Minjung theologian. Minjung means the people, or in a very Marxist terms, the proletariat or the marginalised. It is a theology firmly rooted in and growing out of the struggle for social justice in the 70s under the Park Chung-hee dictatorship. Kim Myung-bok writes that it is the suffering people who hold the key to comprehension of the reality of wars and violence throughout history. The story of Jesus, who suffered execution on the cross by the power of the Roman Empire, is a paradigmatic story. Similar stories of death and destruction have unfolded throughout history, everywhere in the world, and extending to the cosmos. But suffering human beings are subjects, not objects, and have actively resisted these violent powers, generating visions of peace and conviviality throughout the civilizations and histories of the world. Kim Yong-bok was born in 1937. Korea had already been living under Japanese colonial rule for 17 years, and this was also the year that the Second Sino-Japanese War began, with Japan invading China. Korean men were forced by the Japanese into labour camps, including Kim Yong-bok's father, where they died from hunger and cold, or they were sent to fight for the Japanese Empire. The events of this war led to the bombing of Pearl Harbor in 1941, which brought the USA, the Japanese Empire, and the people of Korea along with them into World War II. From this point, the entire country was turned into soldiers or laborers and bled dry of food and resources.